Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's On the Trail, as you just heard from our beautiful intro. What's up, Adam Gray?
Oh, you know, we're just sitting here watching the Open, watching Phil miss a chance at a 62, major record. That lip out, that was brutal. I can't get over that right now.
I know it might help you feel better.
What?
If you go on down to the Exercise Coach and get a nice workout.
Get a burn. You know, actually, I am after this. I am leaving here after this. I'm going down. Got a workout at 1:30 over, you know, a little bit after lunch. And then I understand you're going later today.
Yeah, I'm just going to chill out here down in Des Moines for a little while. Head on over there, 4:30. I'll be in there. It's my last free one. So no, I'm ready to go.
You're ready to rock and roll.
Yes.
It's a full workout for you.
Everybody should know that if they go in to the Exercise Coach and mention Cyclone Fanatic, they also get four free.
They get four free, yeah.
Workouts.
I understand a couple people have actually already reached out to them.
Nice.
And have scheduled times to go out there. So that's great to hear. And it's good. I actually am going three times this week because I last week, 4th of July, I didn't go in on Monday. Couldn't get in a couple other days. So I'm going back-to-back-to-back days, and I'm sure my body will be feeling it come Saturday. But it's good. Looking forward to it. And definitely reach out to the Exercise Coach. Give him a call. Tell them Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
Definitely.
So all right, we got a big podcast today.
Yeah, a big podcast.
Where do you want to start off?
Just a second. I'm going to figure out which one of these microphones is which. I kind of just walked into this situation.
Are we still talking?
Yeah, we're still talking.
This is still part of it. Okay.
We're good.
All right. Now, first off, you just got back from Colorado, a little vacation.
Yeah, I just got back from vacation.
How was
Dude, I don't like vacation. I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
Like, vacation's cool, but at the same time, I don't like, I prefer to be at home. I don't like going away. I think next time I go on vacation, I might just stay here.
Okay, what is the reasoning for this absurd comment?
I don't know. I feel like I'm out of the loop when I'm away. I don't like to be out of the loop.
Out of the loop? Today, if you have your phone in your hand, you're in the loop 24/7.
Yeah, but I don't get cell phone coverage in the mountains.
Oh, okay. So it's not so much vacation, it's where you went on your vacation.
Well, no, I had fun. It was a good – I saved a girl's life.
Did you?
My roommate did while we were whitewater rafting. That was crazy.
You pull her out of the water?
Yeah, she fell into the water. It was crazy. It was right at the beginning of when we just got into the water. We're going, and my tour guide or whatever wasn't paying attention and was, like, messing with one of the other dudes that worked for the company. And all of a sudden, we're going into this big rock, and the big rock almost turned our boat over. It threw my roommate halfway out the boat. So there's a picture of him, like, hanging on to the boat trying to keep from falling out. I'm just laughing at him. Finally, I pull him in because we realize that there's a girl like flying down the current. We have to go save her.
Wow. So you, just the two of you jumped in? Or did
No, we didn't jump in. We just paddled our boat up there real fast.
Oh, okay.
And, just had to catch her before she got whisked away.
Wow. Yeah. Was she scared?
Oh, yeah. She was crying. She was only like 12.
Oh, poor girl.
And it was freezing cold. The water was 37 degrees.
I bet.
Yeah. So
that's scary. You know, I've never done that.
It was right, literally, I don't know, a minute maybe after we'd gotten into the boat.
So
he's like, it starts nice and easy, and then all of a sudden it's like we're going.
Did she keep going, or did she get out and stop?
She sat in the boat for a while, and then they finally convinced her to start paddling again after a while.
Okay,
but it was a good time. I think that next time we go, if we go again, we're probably gonna do like the next class up. We did like the beginner class. There's a bunch of 7-year-olds in it.
Oh really?
So yeah.
Yeah,
I think we can challenge ourselves a little bit more.
So how fast are the rapids? I mean, was it real bumpy? Just kind of,
it's like bumpy enough to be worth it, you know?
Sure.
Like, it's not something where it's like continuous. You're just like, and then you get done and you're like, oh my God, I'm completely drained from that. Like, it's enough for it to be fun still.
Okay.
That's how I'd say.
I'd love to do that. I've never done that before. What part of Colorado were you at when you did that?
We were in Dumont, which is just west. Or, I don't know, maybe 40 miles west of Denver.
Okay.
Mad Adventures, that's my dudes.
So what did you think of your first time in Denver? Like it?
Yeah, it was a pretty good time. I went to the Rockies game on Sunday, and there was no one there. Nobody goes to the Rockies games,
no.
for one thing. Second of all, I had to sit in the bleacher seats. We got two bleacher seats for $20. And it was like 100 degrees in Denver on Sunday, and we just baked in the sun on these bleacher seats. I burnt my butt on a metal bleacher.
You burnt your butt?
I'm dead serious. Yes, I burnt. Yeah.
You didn't put any SPF 30 on that butt or what?
I mean, I don't generally anticipate burning my butt on a bleacher that is like a grill.
Through your shorts.
I had on athletic shorts. We'll get that out of the way first. But.
Okay, so you had athletic shorts on and you had underwear on, I hope.
Yeah, under, yeah.
And
yeah.
It still burned through both of those to burn your butt.
Yeah, my buddy like couldn't even sit there anymore because it was hurting him so much. Yeah.
Wow.
I bet these benches were over 100 degrees.
I heard it was hot out there
yeah.
when you were there. Yeah, that I've never heard of anybody saying they burnt their butt before unless they're in a tanning bed.
I'm trying to figure out if I've got any legal action against the Colorado Rockies for free tickets for the rest of my life. That's what I want.
To the Rockies? I'm pretty sure they'd probably give you those. Just kind of,
as
long as you promise to buy two beers a game, we'll give you free tickets for life.
There was maybe like, I don't know, maybe 5,000 people at the game, and
that's
they wouldn't
it?
Even let us move up like to the areas like down by the field.
You don't even ask permission. You just walk and they go, "Can I see your ticket?" And you just say, "Oh, here," and you just keep walking.
That's what I did. I said, "Oh, I left it down in my seat." And she's like, "Well, I can't let you in there."
Well, you do.
And I was like, "Come on, there's like tons of seats down there."
You do look a little shady. You know, if you maybe were a little bit more clean cut and wearing respectable clothes, other than this flower shirt you're wearing right now.
This trendy shirt. It's a good looking shirt.
You young kids, man, you guys wear some funky stuff. But you know what? You pull it off.
Hey, thanks, man.
You pull it off. So, yeah, let's talk a little recruiting first. Obviously, it's July, so it's a big time for Iowa State basketball recruiting. The coaching staff's all over at these AU camps. Who are a couple of the big names that are out and about?
Well, I know they were in Washington, D.C. last night checking out Georgia guard Alex O'Connell. He's a guy – I think they got in on him pretty early, like maybe back in the spring. And recently he's just blown up. He's got like 20 offers now.
Yeah, he's got a lot of offers. Who's the big competition for this kid?
Louisville, Ole Miss, Arizona State, you know.
So if we're competing with those schools, when he comes for a visit, we need prostitutes.
Sure.
I mean, if you're competing against Louisville, isn't that what Patino and those guys usually do? Don't they have to get kids to commit there?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm making a joke.
Jared. Yeah, I know you are.
Keep up with me here a little bit. Okay.
Well, we'd also need to like drastically improve our weather to be able to stick up to Arizona State.
Well, I mean, if he comes and visits us right now, I think we can compete pretty good with him. It's a beautiful 80-degree day here. It's all about, you know, Iowa State's got a lot to sell for basketball. The fan base
Definitely.
Is second to none. Playing in Hilton Coliseum, you play in the Big 12, you're on TV all the time, which pretty much anybody's on TV anymore. But for basketball, do you think weather's as big of a deal for basketball players as it is for football? I don't.
No, I'd say that it probably isn't. But I mean, a kid from Georgia, like I think that would be something that's like, he probably doesn't know the cold very much, you know.
Yeah, but man, you're in a gym all the time. Gym or class? I guess you got to walk to class.
To me, would it be a problem? No. But there are a lot of kids out there.
Yeah.
That especially guys like this that are big recruits that it would be a problem too.
Yeah.
And you know.
Well, it's just not one thing I'd ever think about worrying about with a guy like that.
No, I'm not saying that. I was just saying in general, like
sure.
going up against Arizona State. So, if it's like we've got to compete against these people, then.
Yeah. So this O'Connell kid, I pulled up his video and watched him. Nice looking prospect.
Definitely.
He reminds me a lot of a 6'5 shooting guard. Reminds me a lot of Nick Stauskas.
Yeah. He's a good shooter. He's sneaky athletic.
He's got some bounce. Why do you got to say sneaky athletic? Is it because he's white? He can't just be athletic?
He just doesn't look like a very athletic guy.
Because he's white?
No.
Why can't you just say he looks athletic? He is skinny.
He's a skinny guy.
He's very skinny. Yeah.
He's not a guy that you're like, oh, my God, I bet that guy's a hooper. You know? No.
No.
Not when you just look at him.
But he's got bounce to him.
Right.
He's got a little bounce to him, a little bit of swagger, which if you go back and look at Stauskas tape and highlights when he's a high school kid, looks very similar. So that's my comparison. It'd be a great get for Iowa State. Especially with who they're losing. I mean, you lose Matt and you lose Naz, you need a shooting guard, right?
Definitely.
Who's the shooting guard going to be next year if they don't get a kid like this?
Nick Babb.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at Nick Babb as more of like a small forward kind of. Like, I don't know if he's like a just – is he a guy that you just get five threes a game to and just try to
I don't know. No, probably not. I mean, I guess I don't think of it that way. Like,
no,
I think of it as just three guard positions usually.
Okay.
So.
Who's your sniper three-point shooter?
Sniper three-point shooter next year?
You lose a Naz, you lose a Matt. Who's your sniper guy?
I mean, I guess the closest thing you'd really have would be Donovan Jackson.
Yeah. So I mean, he'd obviously be a nice fit. And then the other kid that they're after, you said, is
Terrence Lewis. Steve Prohm was in Wisconsin last night. I know at least one other coach is going to be there over the weekend, checking him out. And he has been high on their board for quite a while. 4-star forward. I think he's, what is he, like 6'7", 180 pounds or something like that?
He's about 6'6", yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is a guy I look at. He's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is where TJ kind of has made a heyday recruiting. Now, TJ's gone. It's got to hurt Iowa State's chances, doesn't it? But they're still going hard after him, so they must like the relationship they built with him.
Yeah, I feel like they still think like they've got a – or feel like they've got a pretty good foothold right there. You know, like I think that TJ laid the groundwork for it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think that Coach Prohm and the rest of the staff feel like they've got a good enough relationship too that they've still got a good chance. I think they're 50-50 on the 247 crystal ball.
Them in Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this a guy that Prohm has pretty much got his eyes on, and it's Prohm's guy he's going after him?
I think Coach Prohm was there last night. Like, I think these guys, he's probably the top priority for them.
Really?
Or at least one of the top priorities.
Okay.
And then that Elijah Joyner that CW talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He got an offer last weekend. So I think that he might be the most likely guy to be added to the class first, I'd say.
Well, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about in football, too, with like a Devin Lamp. You expect a guy like that to commit because I think Iowa State's his only Power 5 offer, correct?
Well, Joyner? Yeah, but I feel like basketball is different because he's got an offer from Xavier. So like
Xavier to me is a Power 5
that's
school.
That's what I'm saying. Xavier is a power program, you know.
Yeah.
And he has an offer from Xavier. I think he has one from Dayton. I'd even consider Dayton almost to be a power program. I mean, they've got a really good coach. They've been consistently pretty good the last couple of years.
I would never consider them a Power 5, but you're right, with Miller as their coach.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on that. I guess I didn't realize he had offers from those schools.
Yeah.
He did you watch his tape? His little grainy. Looks like it was 1997 tape is the only thing I could find on this kid.
I haven't yet. But.
Do you know who he looks like? Not who his game reminds me of, but just who visually he looks like. He looks like Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook?
Not saying he's
a
player.
I actually just saw a picture
of him.
People,
calm down.
Yeah, I kind of see that.
I'm not saying he bounced or anything. I turned it on and go, that looks like a young Russell Westbrook. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I like guards that have size, and he's 6'3". He looks fairly long. I like that. I'm a big guy or big fan of that. So it'll be interesting. It's a big month for the staff. Really.
Definitely.
Big month. They got to get 3 or 4 of these high school kids and then get a couple transfers.
Yeah. This second live period ends on Sunday, 17th, and then there's one more next week. So there's like two more big or kind of only like another week of big basketball recruiting. Here for a while, and then it'll slow down.
Slow down again?
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of pressure on the staff for just 1 month, really, right? They have
for
to
sure.
evaluate everyone within 1 month. How much do players change from their junior, senior year in basketball these days?
I feel like it obviously depends on the kid, but I feel like it can be a lot. Because you don't know, kids can make a big jump. Like, you can grow a lot between 17 and 18. Like, you think about a guy like Anthony Davis, who was like a guard going into his
6'3".
Sophomore or junior year, and then all of a sudden he grew up to 7 foot, and then he's like the top prospect in the country.
Yeah.
You know? Or like someone like Thon Maker, when he was a junior in high school, he was like the next big thing, you know? And then he kind of dropped off the map, and it was like...
Well, then he got drafted in the lottery.
Well, yeah, but I think there's a lot of questions surrounding him still. I would say it's far from a sure thing, you know.
No,
I think two years ago, every single person that you asked would have said he was a sure thing.
Yeah. No, I get that. I just look at it from like a guy like Joyner, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously someone that people are going in on really late. He haven't heard. I mean, he didn't have a profile, I don't believe, on Rivals or 247 about a week or two ago.
So
that doesn't mean he's not going to be good, but it just. Usually, you typically, in today's world, with how many AU circuits there are and summer leagues and so on, kids don't typically go unnoticed very often.
Right, and, you know, you also have to, along that same line, kids are always changing AAU teams. They're always, you know, you might have been on a team before that didn't get very much exposure, wasn't going to very good tournaments or something like that. Then all of a sudden he gets bumped up to like the next level of whatever program he's in and starts getting some more exposure. There's a lot of factors that are in play like in basketball recruiting that I don't think really are in football.
Okay.
You know, just because of the AAU circuit and all the different camps that guys can go to and stuff like that.
I get you.
Yeah.
Anyone else they're going after?
I mean, they've got other guys they're going after, but those are my two. Those are my two for you today.
Two, well, three. Ether
Joyner. Oh, three.
Well, yeah. C-Dub had that Joyner one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Terrence Lewis. That is a name that's popped up. Alex O'Connell. That's a newer name. I would say. I mean, we've heard him a little bit, but what about? I know all the fans are asking. The Sexton kid. Any chance Iowa State can pull on Colin Sexton?
Dude, I don't know. That guy's like
he for was people
the,
listening.
He was literally the MVP of the USA U-17 team.
Yeah,
like he might be one of the best basketball players in the country.
For people listening, Iowa State was in on him early.
Yeah,
and he was a low 4-star I think at the time when I was, and now he is a 5-star top 10 player in the country.
Yeah.
And I think maybe even the number one point guard overall for
some
places.
Yeah, he might be.
Or if not, they're second, but. Iowa State fans are still holding on. Typically, you don't see those. You don't see those battles going Iowa State's way very often,
right,
if
ever. I was gonna say I'm not gonna say no. There's no possible way, but I would be pretty surprised if he wasn't at Duke or Kentucky or something like that.
Okay.
Somewhere like that.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
It does happen.
What can you do when a kid goes from being a low force? I mean, you got to applaud the kid. He worked hard. He helped himself. Get better, obviously.
Yes, he did. Let's transition over. I see you put up a little blog here in football about Darius White leaving the team, retiring.
Yeah, essentially.
What's your take on that?
I don't know. I think that it makes me think that the writing might have been on the wall to an extent.
My big thing for him, and hey, more power to him.
If you can
graduate and you can go work and make money, go do it.
Go do it, yeah.
Absolutely. So – you know, the writing might have been on the wall, I guess, a little bit, but you got to think he would have played a little bit, too. He's a senior. Mm-hmm. It's not like all these guys that they're recruiting now are going to come in and play over him, but at the same time, he was a very, very undersized defensive end.
I think it might have been a situation where you see that they bring in that Justin Stewart,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, maybe my playing time isn't quite a sure bet.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, no.
And if it's not a sure bet and you're a senior, and it's like, would I rather go make money and – start the next stage of my life or stay here and
get my brains beaten in.
I mean, like, waste time, to an extent.
I get it. You know, the only thing I keep coming back to, too, you know, we say the same thing with Justin Harris. He got passed over at linebacker.
Jordan Harris, yeah.
Who'd I say?
Justin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jordan Harris. Yeah, sure, he might have fallen to second string, but that it still kills you for depth. And Iowa State, one thing that Iowa State always seems to lack, and they can never get over the hump. They can never build up depth. And that's where Campbell's really going to have – he's going to have his work cut out for him. I know you got to trim the fat from the previous regime, and you get the players that you want to fit your system and have your kind of attitude, and I'm all for that. But in the short term, it is going to hurt from a depth standpoint because Iowa State, a couple injuries on either side of the ball, and they could be in a world of hurt.
Definitely. And I mean, I don't think, like, losing Darius White is a thing that is like, oh, you've got to slash one win off of Iowa State's total
or something like that.
Yeah, like you said, it's depth that is really hurt the most, especially when you only had Gabe Luna and him as the guys that were kind of slated to play that Leo spot.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. Hopefully we never have to talk about him again, and I'm not saying that a bad thing, but just because no one gets hurt, more than likely we won't. But there could be a time where it comes back and says, man, this really killed us.
Yeah.
It really killed us because this guy got hurt, and we have nobody else. So.
And, I mean, he only made, like, I think he made 20-something tackles in his career at Iowa State, you know.
Yeah.
He had, like, 150 tackles his junior year of high school in Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a linebacker. We recruited him as like a middle linebacker, and they turned him into defensive end.
Yeah.
So, yep. All right. Well, we got a new thing here. Once again, this is sponsored by the Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. For the incoming 2016 recruits, we decided to rank them.
Yeah. Do we want to list them all? We're already at almost 20 minutes.
Yeah. Why not? Okay. Give the people something to listen.
Well, I don't have all 20. I don't have all. What was it? 26? Yeah, I don't have them all. I just got 20.
Well, I think technically we have 27, but one of them is a long snapper. You know my thoughts on that. I don't really count long snappers as part of something that we break down.
So you don't watch tape of the long snappers?
No, I don't. I just trust the staff that they found a good long snapper, and I go from there. If you're bringing in a long snapper and you're giving him a scholarship, he should be a four-year starter, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you're going to give the kid a scholarship and,
well,
and recruit for that.
He's got to be to just – I mean, really to justify, like, giving him a scholarship.
Yeah.
I would say.
He better be phenomenal at
because
it.
I feel like – no offense to this – to what's his name?
Stephen Wuerdl.
Yeah, Stephen Wuerdl. No offense to Stephen Wuerdl. But I feel like that is a position that you could scour the state of Iowa and say, I want to find a good long snapper. Okay. It's probably easy enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean,
you could probably bring in a couple of them.
Well, and I guess I don't know. I've never long snapped. But to me, it seems like something where
– like it is a specialty thing.
If you practice it enough, you should be pretty good at it, right?
Right. It seems like one of those ones that is more about like how hard you practice it than it is –
just your skill set as far as natural God-given ability.
Like you obviously want to be a good athlete because you've got to be able to be one of the first people down the field on punt defense.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not like you're out like making tackles on every play. You're not catching passes or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We just killed the Stephen Wuerdl kid for
no
reason.
I feel bad about that.
Well, you know, when you said 26, I wanted to let people know, technically, I think it is 27, but I don't have him on my list.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have six people on my list, so it's all good.
That's okay. You know, we actually, as far as ranking these people or players, we don't have a set criteria.
No.
Whether it's going to be who's going to contribute the earliest. It's kind of, we'll make arguments for why everybody should be where they are.
Right. Yeah. All right. Who you got first then?
I got Jaquan Bailey. First.
Okay.
Reason why, it's a position that Iowa State struggled to recruit at the high school level, defensive end. We don't have a whole lot of players there. And let's be honest, a lot of it is who you beat out. It was a late get, surprising get to beat out Virginia Tech. Kid had a lot of nice offers. So I will take Jaquan Bailey, number one.
I've got Chase Allen, number one.
Do you? Okay.
And it's not only because I think he's going to be, like, the first guy to be able to see the field.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's just got the tools to be like I can't even think of an equivalent. Like, you know Jake Butt at Michigan?
Yeah.
I think he's got the tools to be that kind of guy.
Yeah, which would be great.
Yeah.
You know, I got Chase Allen third, and I actually thought about putting him number one, and the reason I didn't was just because of the position he plays.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think the tight end position for Iowa State is as important as – you know, a defensive or offensive line position.
But I think that it especially could be if you get a guy that is a good weapon there.
No,
you
you're 100% right. But you got to have guys that can block and you got to have guys that can stop the run too.
That's
no,
true.
You can make an argument either way. I think he's definitely the most exciting prospect that Iowa State had in this entire class. I think his upside's probably the highest as well. I mean, let's be honest, it's not very often where Iowa State's beating out Michigan and Florida State for a kid.
For sure.
It just doesn't happen. So that's a good one. Who you got number two?
Jaquan Bailey.
So, okay, we weren't that far off there.
No.
Okay.
Then I've got DeAndre Payne, number three.
Okay. That's funny. I got DeAndre Payne, number four.
Okay, yeah.
He's a guy who's got 2 years to play.
Yeah.
The staff seems to love him. He'll play right away. It'll be interesting. Do you think they'll put him up at corner more than nickel?
I think he's going to be the cornerback.
Cornerback.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he'll be the corner opposite Brian Peavy.
Yeah.
So.
And then where's Tribune going to go? Back him up?
I mean, if they're going to play the 4-2-5 like they were, they're going to have a lot of defensive backs on the field all the time.
Yeah.
So.
I really like DeAndre Payne, too. Transferred in from Tennessee, so obviously he's got talent for an SEC school to want him.
If Butch Davis wanted you in his big recruiting class that he signed a couple years ago, then you know what? You're all right with me. So
is he going to be like our little honey badger? Is he going to be our Tyron Matthew?
I mean, I don't know if he's going to like return punts or anything like that. That's what made the Honey Badger so good.
Well,
he's so exciting was that he could score anytime he touched the ball.
Well, and he would, interception for returns for touchdown. He'd always recover the fumble. He just had a way of finding the ball. My actual number two, we skipped over for me, Sean Foster.
Okay, yeah.
Obviously, 4-star recruit. Iowa State got in late. Big kid. I don't think he's not going to play this year. I don't think most offensive linemen don't. But hopefully he's a guy, 3-year starter on the offensive line, a tackle for Iowa State, a position of need. So I put him up there.
Who do you have number three?
Three, I had Chase Allen.
Oh, that's right.
And
four,
I had DeAndre Payne.
I've got Tymar Sutton, number four.
Okay.
Linebacker.
Okay.
He, I think he's another guy that's got a chance to see the field this year. I mean, as much as anything, it's because there's just not that many linebackers on the team.
Well, that's part of the rankings here.
And he just physically looks like a guy that's ready to play college football, you know? Like, he's a big guy.
He's not very tall.
No.
What, 6 feet tall?
He looks like
he's not Jeremiah George big.
Dude, when I saw him, he actually almost looks like Jeremiah George.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That thick.
I mean, not quite yet, but like you can see where he could be.
Could be that thick.
When he gets a little bit older.
Okay. That was your number what?
Four.
Okay, who do you have number five?
Sean Foster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So far we're pretty close here.
Yeah.
This is gonna be fun to go back and look to in like 3 years.
Yeah.
And just say, man, we're stupid. We weren't even close in half these kids. But it's fun. I enjoy it. So my number five, and this is a reach. I understand this is a reach, and it kind of actually contradicts my number two. I got Dylan Soner, number five.
Okay. I actually don't have him that – like, it's not that long before I was going to mention him anyway.
I think they turn him into a tackle. I've said it many times. I think he keeps his feet that he had from playing basketball and being a tight end. And you see him in 2 to 3 years be a stud tackle for Iowa State.
I can't remember if I've said this before on this podcast, but I've talked to a couple different people that know football, and they think he could play offensive tackle on Sundays.
As soon as they recruited him and signed him, I watched his film, and I guess that's a tackle.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, Carter Bykowski, who played for Iowa State and been in the NFL a little bit, he came in, I think, as a tight end, didn't he?
I think that was before my time,
kid tight end that they kind of moved, turned into tackle. So, I look at this kid. I think he's a diamond in the rough for Iowa State. So I ranked him fifth.
I've got Jacob Park at number six.
I just realized I don't have Jacob Park on my list.
Are you serious?
I went off of one of the websites. I went through everyone, and he wasn't listed as a incoming recruit.
What were you on, 247?
No, I don't remember which one I was on.
I was going to say, I know he's on 247. So.
Okay. So you guys,
now you're shook, aren't you?
I am shook. That's because that's a good one. So, but here's the thing. So you have Jacob Park at what?
Six.
Six. You can't put Jacob Park at six unless you think he's going to beat Joel Lanning.
Why do you say that?
Well, you don't put a guy at number six if he's going to be a backup for the next 2 years.
He could have a killer senior season, couldn't he? What if Joel Lanning kills it the next 2 years and then Jacob Park kills it in three?
In his 1 year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could it happen? Sure. I guess if you – is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking that at the end of the day, whatever contribution he makes will be the sixth best
out of
these guys.
Okay. it's funny. I remember when I did this list back when Steel Jantz came, I think I put Steel Jantz number two because I saw him being the starter. And it's obviously – the quarterback is the most important position on the football field.
Right.
It just is.
Well, that's another reason that he's as high as he is.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with where you put him. I didn't have him on the list because I overlooked him. But I do find it interesting. If you put him that high, in my opinion, you see him overtaking Lanning. And there's nothing wrong with it.
I put Zeb Nolan number 12. What would you say about that then?
It's exactly where I have him, number 12.
Is it?
Exactly where I have him.
Okay.
Yeah. And, Zeb's in a weird, interesting spot too because the very first commit in the whole Campbell staff was Moore.
Yeah.
Who'll be just 1 year younger than him.
Right.
But, everything that people say about Nolan is he's a stud. He came in a semester early. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he does. But I don't know. Quarterback's tough right now because you don't know
what
the staff really wants.
It's just such a
wild card. It is. I've talked to a couple people up in Ames who say that Jacob Park is a stud.
Yeah.
But then they're quick to say, but Joel Lanning's a stud too. So
right.
Who knows? Who knows? You know what, though? It's a lot better, and I'm not trying to kill the kid or anything. It's a lot better than where we were at before where – who was our backup? The kid from Texas who just transferred out.
Grant Rohatch?
No, not Grant. I mean, that's beyond
– Oh, Dom DeLira.
Yeah. So Grant Rohatch and Dom DeLira were the backups, and now we went from that to Jacob Park to Zeb Nolan. I think we had a huge upgrade in quarterback talent.
No doubt.
Huge upgrade.
I would agree. And it's crazy that they flipped the quarterback position like that in
that
a year.
That quickly.
Well, and then their walk-on is that Kyle Kemp.
Yeah.
He was on scholarship
at Oregon
State. Yeah.
He's a four-star.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's a huge upgrade. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's promising there. Now it's – you got to get an offensive line so that they can have a little bit of time to really make some plays.
Right. All right. Who you got six?
Tamar Sutton.
Okay.
So we're not that far off there either. Yep. And once again, for him, for me, same as you, position of need.
Yeah.
Chance to play early.
Number seven, I've got Kenne Nwangwu. And I don't know. Is that how you say his name? Nwangwu?
The running back.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's funny because so your seven is a running back. My seven is a running back as well.
But you got David Montgomery.
I got David Montgomery.
Yeah.
I think Montgomery plays earlier because of his body type.
He fits into that. into that Joshua Thomas role.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yep.
I just think, like, I feel like, I don't want to say his name again because I don't want to say it wrong. Kenne. I'll call him
Kenne. Kenne. Nwangwu.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
Yeah. I feel like he's a guy that's going to be a stud after Mike Warren's done being a stud.
Yeah, but Mike Warren's only got three more years.
So? Then you got three good backs.
No, which would be great.
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic. I look at it as Dave Montgomery's got a chance to fill a different role. You know, you got the Thunder and Lightning. So he's got a chance to play more the next, especially 2 years, behind Mike Warren, where Kenne will be kind of backing him up a little bit. So that's why I have him 7. I don't have Kenne. I have Kenne all the way down in the 20s.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Just because of Mike Warren, pretty much?
I don't know. I don't see him playing very much the next 3 years.
The thing to me is that he's one Mike Warren injury away from having to play, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the...
Well, so here I'm going to pull this kid up on our list here because he's from Texas, right?
Yeah. Stud athlete. He high jumps like 7 foot almost.
Yeah, no, stud athlete.
Yeah.
But here's my question on him. Did he have many offers? And I don't care about stars, okay? He's from Frisco, Texas. Did he have many offers? He had... Oh, no, he did. Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Northwestern. So he had some good offers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Because usually, like I said, those kids in Texas, if they're good enough, they're going to get seen. They're going to get offered, right?
Well,
You're not finding a kid that's overlooked like you can in Iowa or somewhere else.
Right.
Okay. I hope I'm wrong on that one.
Who you got 7?
Dave Montgomery 7.
Oh, that's right. 8, I've got DeShante Jones.
Okay.
As much as anything, because I think that it'll help. It'll also help pull in his brother. So, like, that'll be, like, help. It'll, like, change kind of the way we look at DeShante Jones a little bit, too.
Do you see him playing as a freshman?
I think he could because he's he would kind of fill a need, too.
Well, so Juwan Wesley's gone.
Yeah, they need that slot receiver.
Yep. Well, so will they put Carson Epps in the slot, you think, move him around a little bit?
I think you could even see maybe Denver Johnson in the slot a little bit.
Who?
Denver Johnson.
Oh, wait. I hadn't thought of him.
Yeah.
What about Dondre Daley?
Yeah.
Dondre Daley, you can move him around.
He might be. He's probably actually their – wouldn't he be their number two receiver behind Lazard?
Yeah. DeShante Jones, it would be interesting to see if he plays. It wouldn't surprise me if he played or if Jalen Martin played.
No,
one of those two.
Yeah, I'd agree. I have them 8 and 9.
Do
back
you?
To back, yeah.
Okay, so my number 8 is Justin Stewart.
Okay.
I actually
forgot to even put him on my list.
So we both forgot somebody there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Position of need. Yeah. I loved his tape, and granted, it's just tape. Of good plays for junior college, but man, he got off the ball quick. I see him starting for Iowa State by sometime early in the Big 12 season.
Okay. So I can't say I disagree with you, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, when he signed. Or committed. I remember I texted you right away. I was like, "You got to watch this guy's tape."
No, I texted you.
No, we were just. What were we in the Slack conversation talking to each other and like, "We got to watch. You got to watch this tape. This guy's a freak."
He gets off the ball. He gets off the ball, and so you line him up and tell him to go get the quarterback. And I mean, no offense to guys like Gabe Luna, but this kid's tape stands out a little bit more. He's a different kind of athlete than what Iowa State currently
has. Well, I think that's the kind of athlete they want in that Leo position.
Yeah,
you know. Like, Gabe Luna's still more of, like, a bruiser than he is, like, a speed guy, I feel like.
He's an effort guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy just, you know, he's going to go and play hard. Justin Thomas is more of just a big body defensive end where, you know, he's got a little bit of athleticism to him, too, with that size. But, yeah, so I got him. But right after him, I do have DeShante Johnson at number 9.
DeShante Jones?
Or Jones. I'm sorry. My next guy is Johnson.
I've got Carson Green at number 10. The JUCO offensive lineman.
Okay.
Matt Campbell seemed to be really high on him when I talked to him on signing day.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he was going to be a guy that he'll figure in somewhere along the offensive line. And so, he'll play a lot of snaps.
He has to.
Yeah, he has
to. Just because of the lack of depth. And he also came in
early. Yeah.
So that's huge. So I would agree. It would not surprise me if Carson Green was starting day 1 for Iowa State. That's a good call. I probably had him a little too low on the list. Not that much lower. My number 10 is Jamal Johnson.
Yeah. That's who I figured.
6'1" kid from Minnesota, defensive line. Once again, for me, it's a position of need for Iowa State, position they typically don't recruit very well high school. Hopefully you see him play in about 3 years. He actually has the body to where he could probably play this year. I mean, he's already big enough. He's 3'10". Mm-hmm. He's a big boy. But hopefully –
it's just if you can handle the physicality.
Yeah, hopefully they don't have
trenches,
to.
You know.
Yep.
All right, 11, I've got Dylan Sainer. Who you have 11?
Who?
Dylan Sainer.
Oh, Sonner. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it Sainer? Is that how you say his name?
I guess I see, that's how I see it.
Oh, I always call it Sonner. But you could be very – you could be right
I
there.
I think that H – I feel like that H makes it Sainer.
You know, I have this one here, and I actually wish I'd bump it down a little bit. But 11, I have Fad Daniels.
Yeah, I've got him a little bit further down.
Yeah. You know, so here – I guess here's my question. McKinnon Alexander –
yeah.
He tweeted out, said he's coming to Iowa State. They have not done a press release saying he's coming to the sign, has he? Or did I miss something? Has Iowa State ever announced that McKinnon Alexander?
Well, they've never announced anything with Justin Stewart either.
They didn't.
No.
But usually, if they're here and they're signed, don't they announce, or do they not?
I mean,
do they
you,
not
you typically could look on the directory and see if he's on there.
Well, let's do that right now, because here's my thing: if McKinnon Alexander's here, I think maybe he starts over him. I guess not, but to me, I looked at the Thad Daniels and said, "This is a guy that's got a chance of playing."
I mean, I haven't heard anything about him not being here or not coming.
Okay,
you know,
so I'm just being a little bit of a paranoid Iowa State fan.
And it could be that they have something else up their sleeve and they're waiting to update to do it all at once. You know, like I have no idea. They do that sometimes.
All right. Well, I'm taking a look. I don't see anything, but okay. So I have Thad Daniels. But here's my question: Who are the two starting safeties for Iowa State?
Kamari Cotton-Moya, yep. And well, probably McEnroe Alexander or
Johnson.
Johnson.
Mike, isn't it Mike Johnson?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll pull this all up here.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right.
So I look at it as more of a, once again, just kind of a position of need.
Yeah.
After Iowa State typically lost some guys. I'm looking here. So Iowa State's got Kamari Cotton-Moya, Thad Daniels, Everett Edwards. Would they put him at safety from Duke?
Oh, yeah, from Duke, yeah. I think he was a safety at Duke at least.
So we could actually put him on the list,
yeah,
too. I don't know how good he's going to be. Mike Johnson's a safety. Forgot about him too until now. So, okay. And then they actually have two more safeties that are coming in this class. All right, who do you got next?
Zeb Nolan.
That's who I have at 12 as well.
David Montgomery is my number 13.
Okay.
Who do you have 13?
I got the other Bailey brother.
Oh, Joshua?
Joshua Bailey. You honestly, I could flip them and him and Jamal Johnson. I put Jamal Johnson up there earlier just because of his size. I think gets him on the field maybe a little earlier, mm-hmm. maybe. But
14, I've got Lawrence White.
Okay. Safety from California.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, especially with the way Iowa State's gone out now and gotten McKinnon Alexander and Everett Edwards and Thad Daniels, this is a kid who probably can redshirt and not play for
right.
two or 3 years.
He can have some time to develop a little bit.
Yep.
And he's got tool. I mean, he's got, like, the physical tools to, I think, be a very good safety.
He's 6'1".
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's got good size. I actually, the incoming freshman safety, I have him the highest. So.
Well, you just – wait, oh, Thad Daniels is junior college. Never mind.
Junior college, yeah.
Yeah.
My 14, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Ioma Uwazurki. The defensive end who's 6'6", 255.
Oh, yeah.
That Campbell and staff got. Position of need, big boy. His tape actually looked really good. I think Iowa State got a real steal with that kid, actually. So he's one that would not surprise me if when we look at this list in 3 years, I am rated way too low.
15, I've got Oge Udeoge Ogu.
Okay. Junior college offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Is he on campus yet?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. He's one that he's got to play.
Yeah.
He has to.
Yeah.
The question is how soon will he be ready to play?
Right.
The answer is probably not as soon as we want.
Well, it usually takes those junior college guys like half the season.
Yeah.
And then it clicks.
And then it clicks.
You know.
Well, they got a lot of times they come not in shape, for Big 12 shape. I mean, they're in junior college football shape.
Right.
15 for me, I have Cliff Fernandez.
Yeah.
Tight end, probably play this year a little bit. He came in early, too, if I remember correctly. So he's been here for a semester. That helps out a lot.
I've got Jamal Johnson, 16.
Okay.
And then Joshua Bailey, 17.
Okay. I got 16. I got Jalen Martin. And I look at Jalen. It would not surprise me if Jalen Martin actually got more playing time this year than DeShonte Jones.
Okay.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
And then at 17, I have Carson Green.
Okay. I've got Arnold Azuna at 18.
Okay. He actually is very intriguing to me.
Yeah.
6'1 cornerback, right? Doesn't he have great height?
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. And he's one of the few guys, him and Lawrence White, I believe, are the only two guys that stuck with this staff. So the staff must have liked them enough to keep them. Because mm-hmm. there was a couple other Paul Rhodes recruits that once Campbell and the staff got here, they kind of just went away.
Yeah.
They no longer stuck around. Azuna was one of them, so I got to think they like him.
Who do you have 18?
I have Ogie Udugioga.
Okay.
19, I have Josh Mueller.
Okay. I have Josh Mueller 20.
Do you?
And then I have Thad Daniels at 19.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the end of my list. So.
That's the end of it. I mean, one guy, you know who I find to be really intriguing that we haven't talked about here? Actually, two guys. Carson Lensing.
Yeah.
First commit under Paul Rhodes. That's a big kid. Mm-hmm. 6'4", 220. I mean, I'll be interested to see what the staff does with him. Do they turn him into a defensive end? Do they kind of use him, like you said, in that Leo position? Is he a big linebacker? Because I think he was recruited as a linebacker. Really intriguing. Definitely be cheering for that kid. I always like to see the Iowa kids do well as well.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good athlete, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's got
– He looks like a football player. Well. Yeah. He looks like a football player. It would not surprise me, too, if that's one of these kids that we look back at and say, man, we really
– We really undervalued him.
Well, we forget about him, right? Because yeah. he was the first kid in the class. He was a Paul Rhodes kid. And so we go and we look at this list. I think he might have only been a two-star. He wasn't a big, you know, big recruit by any means. I think we kind of overlook him quite a bit in this class.
For sure.
And then one more that the staff got that – I was impressed with his film was that Jatarris Grant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So another safety. But once again, he's coming in a position where they've just loaded up with safeties lately. They've loaded up with secondary guys. He's going to have to be a stud to see the field anytime in the next 3 years.
Probably, yeah.
So a couple other guys we just forgot to mention. We didn't mention Romello Webster or Keenan Forbes. And I think that was it. I think we talked about everyone else.
Yeah. Sounds good, dude.
What do you think? You think we did all right there?
I think we did pretty good. I don't think anybody can kill us too much.
Well, no. Everyone's got their own opinion. And actually, it'd be fun. People on the thread, when you go and post this later, people on the thread rank them. It'll be fun to go back and look, you know what I mean, and 2 or 3 years and just see how right and wrong we are on these. And how right and wrong, I guess a lot of it is based on offers and stars. And because you know there's going to be at least 6 or 7 kids that never play down for Iowa State, transfer out early. Hopefully not a whole lot, but that's going to happen. So you can't predict that kind of stuff from happening, but it's going to be fun. I look forward to hopefully doing this every year.
We might have a beautiful new location when we're back next week on the website. A beautiful new
next Friday.
A beautiful new view.
Are we allowed to say next Friday?
I feel like Chris has said like late next week.
Yeah, I'll say it next Friday. Next Friday, and it looks great.
Yeah,
it looks sharp.
It does.
It'll be nice.
Everybody's gonna love it.
People have been bitching and complaining for a long time about our mobile site.
Dude, we don't have a mobile site,
and rightfully so.
Yeah, we don't have one.
It's gonna be much better. So when Jarrett's cranking out the phenomenal content that he is, and you guys click on it from Twitter or Facebook, and it pulls up the article, you'll actually be able to read it.
We're even gonna have Twitter cards. Good. We're even gonna have Twitter cards. I'm pretty sure.
What are Twitter cards?
Like when you tweet out a link and it shows a nice little picture and it's all neat and it's not just a link. It just looks nice and organized.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I think it. Yeah, it's part of WordPress.
Okay. There's a lot I'm learning.
Yeah.
A lot I'm learning.
It's so much exciting new stuff happening at CyclingFanatic.com.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and this is for you as a writer, the one that's putting out the content. You have to be the most excited because you have a lot more keys now, or a lot more tools to do your job, right?
No doubt. I mean, we couldn't embed tweets in the old site. Now we'll be able to do that.
It's 2016. We can't embed tweets.
The video. I mean, sometimes YouTube videos would look kind of goofy.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes the highlight films would kind of stick out weird. I feel like it's all just gonna be formatted better. It's all just gonna look beautiful. Can't wait, dude. I can't wait.
Jeez.
I know. I just yelled in your ear.
Tone it down a little bit.
I'm just excited. In the words of Bart Scott, can't wait.
Can't wait. You know what else I can't wait for? Football season to start.
Football season to start. Yeah, it's coming. It's actually 50 days from today.
Yeah.
Or no, 50 days from tomorrow.
So.
Well, wait. So, yeah, today. When you'll be listening to this, it would be today.
We have a lot going on here.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
This chair's moving.
Before the season starts, we'll throw our annual annual kickoff party that we always have done before at Benchwarmers. Be looking out on CycloneFanatic.com for that. We're looking at doing a actual tailgate.
Nice.
From north of Jack Trice Stadium for the first football game. Working on details of that. Hopefully have that out here in the next week or so. And I'm also looking at don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but night before the first game, party up in Ames.
Where at?
I'm working on it a little
bit. Let's just have it in my apartment.
Well, no, we want to have it somewhere classy. I've been in your apartment.
Somewhere classy?
There's nothing classy about your apartment. First off, your dog attacks anything that moves, okay? And that's a fact.
She actually is calm, like seems more calm after she went to, the resort.
That's what Williams told me forever, and then I'd show up and his dog would try to hunt me again.
Well,
so
okay. Dirks is just a crazy guy.
Your dog, if anyone
Dirks
out here.
Dirks is a man. What can you say? Dirks is just wanting to get laid.
Have you seen Something About Mary?
No.
You've never seen Something About Mary?
No.
Put that on your list. But anyway, that dog in Something About Mary attacks Ben Stiller and jumps like right at us. That's what your dog was doing to me.
Yeah, and you tried to throw her through the window.
I know. I was talking on the it all of a sudden the dog jumps at me. I like do a forearm shiver and the thing just bounces off and goes into the window. I felt really bad.
She popped right up and walked away though.
She was fine.
She was good, yeah.
She flew like 15 feet. Maybe not that much, but it was bad.
It was definitely scary, though. I thought you threw her right through the window.
I felt bad. I didn't throw her.
She just like, I mean, you didn't throw her, but you
catapulted
you pushed
to me.
Her. You like, yeah, you just, the way you moved your arms, I thought she was going to go flying through the window.
She was going for my jugular. I was protecting the body.
Dude, she gets running up around those chairs like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like she uses like centripetal force to keep her around, and it's like a banked turn.
And I tell people this all the time. People think I'm crazy. I'm afraid of animals.
There's a reason that Brett is the most docile dog I've ever met in my life. Your dog.
I have no idea why.
Like he just.
Because he's old?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's. I mean, I don't know if it's that, but he just lumbers around and lays down and doesn't really do anything.
He's a good dog.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. See, he has to be a good dog because you're terrified.
Well, I'm not terrified of my dog. I'm terrified of other people's dogs. I just am. I always have been.
Well, Lolo can't do anything to you, so. She's pretty little.
She's weighs what, 8 pounds?
No, she's about 15.
15?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's got a mean look.
Mean look. Oh, yeah. She's terrifying.
She's got this look in her eye that she wants to kill me. So, let's end this podcast here by thanking our sponsors, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. I actually got to get going here because I got to head to my workout. I got working out with Casey today.
Nice.
Have you had Casey?
Yeah, I had Casey. I think it was my second one.
She's great. You know what I like about Casey the most? When I show up there, she's got Garth Brooks Pandora playing for me because she knows that's what I like to work out to.
So they don't ever ask me what I want to listen to when I work out.
Well, when you go in today, say to her, or whoever, you got David, I think, today, don't you?
Oh, nice. Okay.
Say, David, this is what I want. Yeah. I want some rap. David, actually, he'd like that. David would like some rap. But, it sets the mood for me. I sit there, I jam out. Yesterday she had me do abs, like a lot of abs.
Honestly, I don't think I would even notice the music if I was like, when I'm working out. Yeah. Well, it's not that you're like in the zone. It's just,
I have to sometimes when things are getting a little bit challenging, sing to myself a little bit, just say, and I sing it out loud and I'm a horrible singer. So, but at that time I don't care. I just own it.
Once I get on the bike, I don't know if it has like another name.
Yeah.
But once I get onto that thing, that's when I'm like, I really wish I had some music because I just wish I had something else to think about like while I'm trying to do this.
Oh, the bike's the worst.
Yeah.
It is the worst. Yesterday she actually let me pick. And so I took, I did the elliptical.
Oh, yeah.
Elliptical's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really don't mind the bike. Like, I actually feel better when I get off of it than I did before, like from the workout. I feel like.
Oh, you feel great. You know, have you done the one that works your hamstring?
I've done them all.
Yeah, so the hamstring one, you get off that one. How good does it feel to walk around after you do that?
It feels good because it's like, it feels like all your muscles are just, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's tight.
Just, you feel so stretched out.
And then you're stretched.
Yeah.
I've never had a stretch in my hamstring ever like I have on that workout.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You take 3 steps and it just releases. It's great.
I had to take a nap in the subway parking lot in West Des Moines the last time I got done working out, dude.
That's good, man. That's a good thing about it, that you can push yourself as hard as you want on that. I mean,
definitely.
If you want just a nice, cool workout, they do it for everybody's got different strengths and weaknesses. It's all computer generated. It's great.
There's somebody like yelling in your face telling you to get the work done, you know?
They might push you a little bit, like, hey, you got two more, fight through it, that, but it's not yelling. It's calm. It's a good place. Check it out. Give them a call, 515-330-1299. They're right behind the Walgreens there.
Only takes 20 minutes.
20 minutes. In and out.
20 minutes. You're in and out. Dead serious.
And you could say you feel it. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You feel it. So, all right, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.